last afternoon. If you would join me tonight as we look to continue in God's holy word back in the epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 5, where we were this morning in our studies on justification by way of the imputation of Jesus Christ. And hopefully by now we have down pat a pretty good idea of what this powerful Bible term or word justification means, as again it has to do with, as it's a legal courtroom term, if you will, it has to do with a legal declaration by God upon which the sinner is declared completely righteous, or now placed in a right, a perfect, a proper standing with or before a perfect, holy, righteous, just, almighty Lord God. While imputation is, and it has to do with, in connection to it, absolutely necessary for it, the actual transaction that in fact makes the sinner to now be legally declared completely righteous, or now placed in that right, perfect, proper standing and position with a perfect, holy, righteous, just, almighty Lord God. In other words, without imputation, there would be no justification. But in a simpler statement, bringing the two together, the penitent believing, that is, by faith sinner, is justified, is declared righteous by and on the basis of the imputation of Christ's perfect divine righteousness having now been put to the sinner's account, to the sinner's credit. So, this is the overall meaning of these two powerful Bible terms of salvation, which brought us to inspecting three incredible aspects about this first one of our justification, looking at its meaning and its method, and now we are in the process of looking into, as our third aspect of it, its marks or evidences in the life of a justified sinner. And as we discover here in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, and we could even go beyond, but we'll reserve that for when we get to our studies down the road, our planned studies in the book of Romans. But these marks of justification in the true believer's life are all revealed in relationships. Actually, in verses 1 through 5 here, there are three relationships to be exact. As let me just pause to say before we continue any further looking at these, as we handled the first one this morning, you will recall, and I'm sure I said it, but just in case, let me just bring this out again, that our justification has to do with our standing. It has to do with our position before God. In other words, God justifying the believing sinner does not make that sinner righteous, but he is simply what? He is declared righteous. However, and this introduces us back into what we were looking at here this morning with these marks of our justification in terms of the three relationships, the results, the consequences of being declared righteous will most definitely lead to that person living a righteous life. In other words, a person who claims, I've been justified by faith, but then gives no evidence, bears no marks, no markings of this, but just continues living his old sordid godless life, but he is or she is a person who, and most probably self-deceived and doesn't even realize it, who is a liar. As this declaration of righteousness, understand, will always, if it's truly happened, result in a changed life that will be visible to other people and even to ourselves. As first, and we looked at it in our AM, if you are truly justified by faith alone in Christ alone, you are going to have a right relationship with God that will be evidenced by both others and by yourself, where you'll have peace with God. Verse 1, look at it. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked this morning at what that all meant. No longer at war with God, but at peace with God's thoughts, with God's desires in line with God's word. Of course, that our minds will be. Secondly, you'll have access with God, or access to God. Verse 2, look at it. By whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, where we can now freely come to the throne of grace, and we do, where we can talk to our Heavenly Father and we can fellowship with our Heavenly Father in an intimate way. And then thirdly, you will have hope in the glory of God. End of verse 2, it says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, where we'll have real joy in our hearts, no matter our circumstances, over the certain hope that we have in Christ for the future, in sharing with the glory of God one day. As these will be the incredible marks of a truly justified sinner by faith alone, in and through Christ alone, with God, or in relationship with God. Which brings us, as we ended our time this morning, introducing the second relationship which our now justified state will be marked by, or will in fact evidence forth, namely, where the truly justified sinner will be found right in relationship to his or her circumstances. And it's something we'll pick up on in verses 3 and 4. As look with me at verses 3 through 4 as we continue this. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So the second mark of that, a sinner is truly justified, of the fact that a sinner is truly justified, will be his relationship to the circumstances of his life. As again, the unsaved, the unregenerate person, they will be torn down by all of their tribulations. But a truly justified believer will be built up by their tribulations. And again, we all go through tribulations. We all go through hardships of life. As I mentioned this morning, Job 5:7, and I looked up the passage to you, and it's also found in Proverbs 17:17 in a blurb. But it says, man is born to adversity as the sparks fly upward. And then Proverbs 17:17 simply says, man is born to adversity. And this includes the unsaved, by the way, right? But a truly justified believer will be marked, look at the beginning of verse 3, a glorying in his tribulations. Paul says, but we glory in tribulations also. Not only do we have these marks in relationship to God, but also, Paul says, let me say this, a truly justified believer will glory in his tribulations. Tribulations here is the word thlipsis. It means his distresses. It means his straits. It means his being pressed in upon by life, which actually for a true believer who will live godly in Christ Jesus, as Timothy talks about, or Paul talked to Timothy about, will increase beyond that of the world's our tribulations. But what does it mean? We glory. We glory. It sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? The Greek word koami, it actually means we boast. It means we rejoice. We glory on account of something, on account of a thing, whether with reason or without reason. And here, it's usually, I would submit to you, without reason, as who fully comprehends whenever hardships hit us, right? I mean, we're usually asking the question, why me? And no, this doesn't mean we've some masochistic, sadist sort of attitude that says, I laugh at pain. Bring it on. I love it. I take pleasure from my pain. I take pleasure from my humiliation. Doesn't mean that. Nor does it mean we go out and we look for it so you then can glory in it just like the Lord tells us to do. No. But it means that when trials and hardships being pressed in upon do come, we don't give up. But we realize with an inner joy in our all-sovereign Lord, knowing he's working all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28, we realize that we now have an opportunity to faithfully for the Lord and to his glory and to his honor, an opportunity to grow stronger in him, in our character. And I want you to get this. It's even serving as part and parcel of us laying up treasure in heaven with the Lord. This came to my heart and mind. Do you remember our Lord Jesus and how he put it in his Sermon on the Mount? Go over to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. And here the context is that of persecution for Christ's sake. But where he says there in 10 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And now watch what he says, verse 12, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Here it is. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now I realize that's all in the context of being persecuted for righteousness' sake, as we aren't always pressed in on for righteousness' sake or for the gospel's sake directly. But if we are striving, let me just say this, if we're striving to live righteously always through whatever it is, maybe it's an illness, maybe it's a disease or some other affliction or hardship that we might face as a justified one, I believe there is still reward for those who would continue to live godly, trusting in their Lord through whatever it might be. It's something that I believe, and if we had time to look at it, we can pick up on other places in the Word of God when it comes to our heavenly reward. I think of what it says even in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. It says that the sufferings of this present aren't to be compared with what? With the glories that await the children of God. Who needs any more reward than that, right? So I believe there's still reward for those who would continue living godly, trusting in the Lord through whatever it may be. It's something that is seen in other places in the Word of God. But going back to it, we can glory in whatever it is as a truly justified child of God's going through it. Why? Because we know, look what the apostle says, knowing, we understand. That word knowing is oida. It means we have full and final perception. And it's in what's called the settled perfect tense in the language here because, and we know it's so because why? Because God told us it was so. It's settled. It's settled that my present tribulation, whatever it be, as we are faithful to him in going through it, is working. And the word working there is katergazomi. And it means it's producing, it's performing, it's achieving, it's resulting in. Now watch, my patience. And the word for patience there's a couple of them in the New Testament. There's the word makarthumeo that's translated patience in the King James Version. That's having to do with a patience like we would exercise with people. But this one is hupomeno. Hupo meaning under, and meno being the Greek root which means to remain. So as I continue to deliberately, steadfastly remain under with faith in the Lord my God to endure, some of your Bibles translated endure, that's when my tribulations work what God wants it to work. And that's why I glory in my tribulations as a truly justified believer. One of the marks of being a truly justified believer. Let me just comment for a moment on this word patience or hupomeno, remaining under with endurance, that this doesn't mean sitting there very stoically, just passively enduring whatever it is. But it's speaking about a brave, steadfast, immovable endurance that keeps on going for and with the Lord no matter. Trusting in the Lord, casting our care upon the Lord, casting our faith, all of ourselves upon the Lord, though we can't understand any of it, but casting it all on our sovereign Lord who we realize is in utmost control of our lives, down to the very hairs of our head being numbered. So, it's not someone sitting in a rocking chair, stoically, passively, rocking back and forth, just waiting for whatever it is to end, but it's a soldier out on the battlefield who keeps on going when the going gets tough. And you see, when you have been justified, when you are right with God in a relationship with God, you will not be bowled over by your circumstances. Someone once put it this way, and I like it. What life does to you depends upon what life finds in you. Let me repeat that. What life does to you depends on what life finds in you. As the truth is, if you have peace with God within, if you have free access to the grace of God, if you have rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, then when tribulation comes, it's going to work for you, not against you, as if we are God's child. I mean, why in the world would he want at all to work ill will in the lives of his own? And thus, if he's sovereignly allowed it, if he's planned it, and obviously, as he tells us, he has, then he's allowed it, he's planned for it, and he's put it there to work, to perform, first of all, this brave endurance. A steadfastness, a remaining under with him through it. And then I want you to know, next, the character trait. It works or it performs in a truly justified sinner. Verse 4, and patience, it works, or it performs, or it leads to what? What's it say there? Experience. Which means, it means, guess what? It means a tested character. A tested character, like putting our character, as I thought about it, through the fire, so that it might be refined. All the dross might be burned out. As the word experience here is the word doikomi. You've heard of the word doikomis before. Doikomas, approved workman. But it simply means to be tried. It means to be proven in character. It's the result of
Listen to me, it's the result of our patiently remaining under with the Lord as nothing, and I mean nothing, builds character in the life of God's truly justified one like tribulation. As circumstances, let me just say this, by themselves, they do not build character. Though the world says, well, they will and they do. You hear all these motivational speeches. I mean, just because they've nowhere else to turn but to their false sense of themselves, power of positive thinking. But you see, when you know and when you really love God, and you have the peace of God, and you're a justified person, when you are truly justified by faith alone in Christ alone, circumstances can build character in an incredible and in a quick fashion. Let me just pause once again to add this. Though I spoke already about it giving you the Greek usage of it, but the word tribulation, thlipsis in the Greek, it comes from a Latin word. This is interesting. It's called tribulum, where a tribulum was a huge piece of wood like a railroad tie that had nails driven into it. And when the oxen used to draw this piece of wood over the grain to thresh the grain on the threshing floor, then it separated what? Separated the wheat from the chaff. And you see, tribulation is God's way of separating the wheat from the chaff, the grain from the waste. And thus, tribulation works for us who really know and who really love the Lord because it develops brave endurance in us. And when you have brave endurance, you start building character, godly character, true godly character. And then look next at the end of verse 4. And this truly godly character, this experience produces, it works to accomplish in us, what's it say? Hope. Hope, what a wonderful word. And there's that certain hope, once again, that we've been talking about. As you know it and I know it, the most certainly hopeful Christians you will ever meet are who? Those who have had to go through the threshing of tribulation. So going back to it, when you have been justified by faith, you will be marked by, number one, and foundational to it all, a right relationship with God, which leads to a right relationship to all of our circumstances around you. So that we can say circumstances are not tearing me down, but they are building me up. Up in my faith, up in my hope, my trust in the Lord, my dependency on Him and Him alone. When all the props of life are knocked out and there seems to be no answers to any of my life's dilemmas. When I'm humbled, that's when I'm contrite of heart and that's right where God wants me. Which brings us to a third mark of a truly justified sinner in Christ, where you will be marked by a right relationship to others. To others. A right relationship with God, followed by a right relationship to the circumstances of life, as followed by also a right relationship to others. And this you'll find in our text in verse 5, Romans chapter 5, where right on the heels of a right relationship to our circumstances in verses 3 and 4, with patience working in us, godly character experience, and experience godly character now working hope, this certain hope, this trust in the Lord for the future, and that knows best, that He knows best always. But He now adds, look at it, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because, why? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given us. So yes, this is part of that justification unto life that we'll see even in chapter 5 in verse 18. If you just turn the page there in verse 18 where it says, look at verse 18 of chapter 5 here of Romans. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That was Adam, the first Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the second Adam, the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. The second Adam is Jesus Christ. But notice, justification unto life. Living. And that's talking about, I believe, not only eternal life, but it's talking about living here below. When eternal life starts, the moment we get saved. When you are justified by faith alone in Christ alone, when you trust in Jesus solely and wholly as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, into my life, and you know that you are one of God's children. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gives and He grants to you, are you ready? The fullness of God's love. The fullness of God's love. True agape, unconditional, self-sacrificing love, love for God, love for others. So the producing of endurance leading to godly character, leading to a certain trusting hope in the Lord, as Paul will go on to say right off here in verse 5, it is a hope, it's a certain hope that does not lead us to being ashamed. You say, what does that mean exactly? Well, it means, I believe, that it does not lead us to standing dishonored or being disgraced, as the word ashamed means, or being disappointed or being confounded for having patiently endured through the trials of trusting the Lord. And in thinking that, I mean, this would produce godly character and a richer trust in the Lord, and that now I'm ashamed of it. Because the truth is, with that deeper hope comes a deeper and a richer love, and a love for God, and a love for others that is divinely and lavishly poured out to the point of overflowing in our hearts. As instead of thinking that all of this enduring through trials with the Lord has turned out to be no hope at all, a hope, a trust where I trusted in the Lord and it's all been for naught, that it's just been some pie in the sky sort of thing for which I now stand dishonored and disgraced and blushing and for having trusted in Him. Instead of that, God lavishly pours out His love, love for Him, for others, to the point where it's overflowing like a surging river. It's overflowing the banks of our hearts. This is a promise. And here, by the way, Paul moves from the objective aspects of our security in Christ to that internal, more objective part of it all, where God implants within our hearts evidences that we belong to Him and that we now love the one who first loved us. And we also will go forth to grow in this love that was first put there in our salvation, in our justification for Him, to now give to others, others in the household of faith, others outside of Christ in the world. You say, this is what faithfully enduring through tribulation with the Lord produces. This is what it works. This is what it accomplishes in us. Yes. Yes. It grows us up in godly character and in a most preeminent of godly characters, really, upon which all godly character will flow, a deep overflowing love for God and a love for others. What this means here is this: as a truly justified one, you and I will now go forth allowing love to rule in all our relationships. I'll tell you what, when you have that kind of love in your heart, it isn't hard to get along with other people, even most difficult people.
I mean, we all, looking back at it, we have experienced the radical change that took place because we trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, where on that day, we replaced, actually, God did it in us and for us, hatred, jealousy, envy, selfishness with this unconditional agape love, this love of God. It's now from that day forward that the Holy Spirit of God begins to produce in our lives the fruit of the Spirit, three of which that we find here in these first five verses that in fact top the list in the listing of the fruit of the Spirit. If you look over in Galatians chapter 5, where in verse 1 here of Romans 5, we find peace. In verse 2, we find joy. And now in verse 5, we find agape love. We find this supremest of all loves. And all three of these, with love being the preeminent and the foundational virtue, are all, please listen to me, they are the result, the consequence of our justification by faith. These are the marks of a truly justified sinner. I would say that this is a marvelous thing that we are looking at, to be justified, wouldn't you? There is no reason in all the world why we Christians, the truly justified in Jesus Christ, we should be walking around with long faces, with perhaps dismal expressions, always complaining, when the truth is we have so much. Why? And how did it come? Because we've been justified by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the righteous one. So if you've been truly justified, you will be marked by a right relationship with God, as you will have peace with God, not war. You will have access to God, and it will show, and you will have grace from God so that you can get through life with His power, and so you can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God all the days of your life. And more than all of that, you will be marked by, because of all of that with God, a right relationship to all of your circumstances of life, where the difficult circumstances of life will not tear you down, even the most difficult ones, but they will build you up. As they will build character, they will build brave endurance, and they will give you a blessed and a certain hope. And this, you see, will lead to you and I being marked by a truly justified one in Christ, a right relationship to all others. As the love of God is lavishly poured out to overflowing through your life for God and for others, and to the point that you will find yourself getting along with people and glorifying God as never before. And these, beloved, are the marks, the evidences, and though not comprehensive, of a true justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And now we are ready to look at the imputation of the only righteous one who makes this work of justification, this declaration of righteousness, possible in us. He did it through not only His perfect life, but by way of His perfect substitutionary sacrificial death on behalf of all His elect believing people, where because He's taken all of our sin upon His sinless self and canceled all of our sin debt, and at the same time He's given us in this divine transaction His perfect righteousness credited to our account, so that we can now stand eternally righteous before a holy God. We can now say, I've been justified. I have been declared righteous by and only by the imputation, the perfect imputed righteousness given me, put to my account of Jesus Christ.
so that we can now say, as Paul, he said it with such emphasis, said it so wonderfully, I'm reminded in Philippians 3:9, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Truly, we can say, as Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable, his indescribable gift. Wow. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessed truths that we have been dealing with here in this wonderful passage that you give us in Romans 5. Oh God, help us to take to heart these truths, that we would continue working to produce, as they are already in us if we're truly justified, these wonderful relationships in relationship with you, that we would continue walking with you in these truths, that we would find the reality of them in relationship to our circumstances when life's difficulties hit, that we would continue as a justified believer walking through them with a remaining under, a patience, with a patience that builds godly experience and that leads to a certain hope. And Lord, that we would continue being marked by this hope that maketh not ashamed, that leads to a love that's been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. Lord, that we would continue showing and reflecting to this lost world who desperately needs you the marks of a truly justified saint, a believer in Jesus Christ, and that by it we would bring glory and praise and honor to your name. Bless now as we look around the truths of your table and as we head into this time. Thank you for saving us from the wrath that is to come, your wrath, through Jesus Christ and his imputed righteousness that's put to our accounts. Thanks be to God for this indescribable, this unspeakable gift. And we pray these things in Christ's name.